Shalom, this is Rabbi Richard Address for Jewish Sacred Aging. I'd like to welcome you to our Jewish Sacred Aging series of podcasts. We're going to be speaking with a variety of individuals who are working in the field of aging, Judaism, and the impact of the longevity revolution on our community. I appreciate you listening. This podcast is adapted from one of our Jewish Sacred Aging conversation videos. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. And don't forget to check us out on our website, www.jewishsacredaging.com. Good day and welcome again to another edition of Conversations here on Jewish Sacred Aging. And we're delighted to welcome back to our conversation Dr. Don Friedman, a retired rheumatologist here from Greater Philadelphia and now serving as Clinical Associate Professor of Medicine on the volunteer faculty of the Sidney Kimmel Medical College at Jefferson University here in Philadelphia. And so again, welcome, Dr. Friedman. We're delighted to have you back for another brief conversation here. And previously, we talked a little bit about this whole explosion of interest and your role in spirituality and medicine and the training of doctors. And that really leads to the other big issue that is really emerging in the last several years and really is on the front pages almost every week in some place around the country. And that is the challenges of end-of-life care, of fetal care, of advanced care. The success of Dr. Gawande's book, Being Mortal, really goes to something that's happening, I think, in the United States of America about a desire or to have a conversation about end of life. So from your perspective as a physician, as somebody who studied this, who's somebody who works with medical students, what's going on?
Well, I think there are a number of factors going on. Certainly Dr. Gawande's book is reflective of the fact that this is becoming more and more an important issue. And he has confronted these issues and seen them in the hospital. I think, you know, medicine has moved from a very paternalistic kind of approach toward patients that the doctor knows best, the doctor makes all the decisions, to more patient autonomy and transparency for medicine too. So that's one aspect that the patient should be more involved in making decisions, assuming that the patient wants to be involved in making decisions. And I think the other thing is, too, is the cost factor. You know, so much of Medicare, I think it's like 20% of Medicare is spent on the last month of patients' lives. And in this time of rising medical costs and hospital costs, that on a very financial level is another reason that this, I think, is being discussed more. But I think people are realizing that they have more of a say and should have more of a say. And again, the hospice movement has had a lot to do with this too, where there's an alternative to, if you want to use the phrase, to die well and to die in the way that you want to die.
And we've had representatives from a major hospice here in southern New Jersey, Samaritan, on one of our video conversations previously. And you've written on this for the website, JewishSacredAging.com, and you're involved in classes about this. Do you sense that there's still a sense of fear on the part of individuals because it really is an abject, stark, black and white understanding that we're mortal? And that's very frightening.
Well, I think it's frightening on both sides, I have to say, for the patients to face that issue that we're mortal. On the doctor's side, there are a number of factors involved. And I think one of them is the fact that death, even in a situation, let's say, of a untreatable cancer, and believe me, this is not just related to cancer, it can be intractable heart failure, where the heart just can't respond any further to medications, or intractable chronic lung disease, emphysema, where only so much can be done. It's not just limited to cancer. So again, in the medical world, if a patient dies, it's frequently regarded as a failure, even though nothing more can be done. And that's where that whole issue, which can be a whole other conversation, the difference between curing and healing. If a patient can't be cured, that doesn't mean they can't be healed in the sense of having a death that's meaningful. And this is a hard concept to get across in Western medicine. It's not a hard concept in Eastern medicine. And the other thing is, you know, we talk about having the conversation. You know, this is very prevalent now. It's very hard for physicians to have the conversation and to bring up with the patient that they're dying. And this became very apparent to me because I recently took this course at Harvard Medical School. It was called Communication in Serious Illness, which is the new term, I think, for terminal illness. It sounds a little better and more palatable. And actually, it was given through the Dana-Farber Cancer Center at Harvard, the palliative care department there. And as you know, palliative care medicine has become very strong as a field over the last, I don't know, 20 years or more. And I think that's made a difference, too, why people, because it's involved with hospice. But palliative care is not just hospice. It's taking care of people's physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, too. So anyway, Atul Gawande was actually involved with this course, and the people at Dana-Farber developed a questionnaire of how to have this conversation on the medical side with patients, and it's a very interesting protocol, and it involves asking, there's a lot of permission involved of asking patients, do they really want to talk about it? Because some people are not willing to talk about it, and many people are, and just aren't given the opportunity. So I'm just bringing this up because we kind of role-played with this questionnaire. And there are seven questions, and it starts off, which I think is always a good question, where the doctor asks the patients, what's your understanding of your illness? And the patient hopefully has some idea of what's going on. And then the second question is, would you like me to talk with you about what I see down the road in terms of symptoms that will develop, and also the time that you have left. Now, you don't ask these two questions without setting up the conversation first, which is, you're doing fairly well now, maybe it's a time to talk about what lies ahead. Once you set that up, and then if the patient to that second question says, yes, I want to know, you use, this is a terrific way of doing things, I call it the three W's. You ask the patient, you tell the patient, I wish that things were different. That's the first W, that your cancer hadn't spread or that your heart would respond to medications. And I worry, that's the second W, that you may get to a place where you have to make decisions that are difficult and you may not be in a good physical condition to do that. And so I wonder, which is the third W, whether we can have a conversation about what lies ahead. And if the patient says, yes, I'd like to know how long I have to live, you say, I have 6 to 12 months to live. And then the questionnaire turns totally different. It moves into what are your goals and values for the time that you have left? What are you concerned about happening to you? There's a bargaining question. What would you want to have? What would you be willing to undergo to have more time, which is like another round of chemotherapy, and so forth? And have you discussed this with your family? So I had to do this in role-playing right after we had this questionnaire, and it got to the point, there were scenarios where we were role-playing a doctor, someone played a doctor, someone played a patient, and someone played an observer. And I had to tell the patient they had 6 to 12 months to live, and I absolutely froze. I found it so hard to say that, even in role playing. And there was a Harvard faculty person there who said, well, to me, you know, I didn't set up the situation, which I didn't. And then she said, you really have to say it. And so I started again. And it went much better the second time, but it really brought home to me, here was a totally safe situation of role-playing, not a real patient. It was still hard for me to say, you have a certain amount of time to live.
Most likely it touched something in you.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, so that's another course altogether.
Well, I think that's one of the problems that physicians have trouble, besides the fact that, you know, someone dying is a failure in physicians' minds sometimes, even though there's nothing else really physically can be done. And the second thing is it touches on our own humanity. You're really facing the fact that we're mortal too. And
so these conversations, these classes, this slowly bubbling up of, as you said, the need for autonomy. You know, I need to have some control, and I do believe that the baby boomers are really pushing this because it's just endemic to the generation from the 60s on. This then has led to this rise in legislation around the country about legalizing what is wrongly called assisted suicide. Some people call it choice in dying legislation, but in really, it probably is best described almost in choice in living legislation, because it really does allow some people to make a decision about how I want to live at the end of my life, which is very different cast than assisted suicide.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think part of that decision, how I want to live, is to decide not to have further therapy, which, you know, it's so much easier, even in dire situations, to say, let's do another round of chemotherapy, let's do this, because there's always that emphasis on medicine to do something. And I think the thing that's being realized now, that doing nothing sometimes and helping the patient's disease take its natural course is actually doing something.
Well,
and that's really a hard concept to get.
And the challenge of our tradition, the brilliance of the Jewish tradition, as you studied, is that there are positions like that within Judaism when the right thing to do is to just step back. And in the daily prayer book, I mean, in the morning prayers of every prayer book, There is this prayer where we pray for healing. When I teach this, I always point out, look, this is part of who we are. We don't pray for a cure. It's as if the tradition for thousands of years understood that it is possible to be healed without being cured. And I think when you brought that up, that really comes from the Neshama and our own tradition. And I think it's a very valuable insight into the Jewish approach to life.
And part of the healing, and this is where hospice has really played such a major role. It's not just, I mean, a major part of hospice is to make the patient comfortable. If they're in pain, to make sure there's good pain control. But it's also dealing with spiritual and emotional issues too. At end of life, a lot of things obviously come up, and a lot of them are spiritual. What is the meaning of my life? Have I lived my life fully? All these kind of things.
Why questions?
And spiritual distress, as I'm sure you're well aware, when people lose this sense of the meaning of their life or their connection to anything, and which can certainly happen at the end of life, that's part of the hospice role too. Chaplains are involved, spiritual care people are involved. This, I think, is as much a part of that hospice system and really good end-of-life care as the physical aspect.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Don Friedman, I want to thank you very much for sharing your insights, some of your experience as a physician and as a member of a faculty who teaches medical students, volunteer faculty, albeit, but thank you very much. And continued good luck at Jefferson Medical College or the Sidney Kimmel Medical College at Thomas Jefferson University here in Philadelphia. Thank you, Don, for coming with us. Thank all of you again for joining us on this edition of our Conversations at Jewish Sacred Aging. And again, you can check us out at the website, www.jewishsacredaging.com. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Stay healthy. Stay well.
Thank you very much for listening to this edition of Jewish Sacred Aging podcast. We invite you to contact us at jewishsacredaging.com. We appreciate your comments and suggestions. Thank you again for listening. We look forward to seeing you again on another Jewish Sacred Aging podcast. Shalom.